Well, this is a fantastic example for just exactly what church is meant to be, right? Church is meant to be a family that joins together with one another and loves one another. And so let's just start into this message of celebrate the church. And William Temple, who I have no idea who he was, but he said something really quite funny, or quite insightful, I should say, actually. He said that the church is the only cooperative society that exists for the benefit of non-members. Isn't that true? We here this morning are dedicating our time, our resources, our mental capacity, our passion, our love, our effort for those people who do not belong to our group. You and I are being equipped this morning with a love for Jesus, being reminded of just how good he is, so that we can take that love and we can go outside these doors and go and share it with somebody else. Somebody else who hasn't necessarily asked for it, who hasn't necessarily thought that they even need it, but is actually in desperate need to hear it. It's the only cooperative society in the whole world that exists for the benefit of non-members. And isn't that just like God? I mean, that is a reflection of who God is. He came into this world, gave his only begotten Son, that whoever should believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. The Holy One of God came to the unholy, not because we deserved his presence, but because he wanted to reach us. And so it is for the church. We here dedicate our time, our effort, so that we might seek and save the lost, just like Jesus. But you see, the church has a double identity. We are the holy people of God, called out of the world, and yet we are also the salt and light of the world. We are told to go into the world. We've got a double identity. We are the holy, worldly ones. We are, as Peter says in 1 Peter, we are foreigners and exiles. And yet we are also ambassadors and good citizens. Church, you have an identity this morning. The church itself has an identity that we are holy, worldly ones. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. The church's primary mission is that it would reach the lost. You see, the church is God's bride, and he is preparing herself, preparing her for his coming return. But we're also his ambassadors to the nations, sharing his message to all who would listen. And all in all, we are Jesus's, are we not? The church is Jesus's body, and he is the head. The church is his body, and he is the one who is ultimately in charge. We're told this in Colossians 1:18 and Ephesians 1:22. They're not going to be on the screen because they're not going to read them. But it says that Jesus is the head of the body, the head of the church. And so our mission as ambassadors is we tell his message about the great heavenly king. And as the body and as his bride, we look for his leadership and ultimately his return, for which we prepare ourselves. And all throughout March, we've been celebrating the church and the way in which God has chosen us, chosen to use us, chosen to use the church throughout history and also within our context and our culture and our environment. Pastors Daniel and Craig have shared on the great and not so great things about the church and how God is making us more into Jesus' image. And ultimately, we're celebrating this as a congregation next week on the 30th. Next week is a chance for us to thank God and honor God for his provision over us as a church and as a congregation, as a body of believers whose head is Jesus Christ. And so this morning, I'm going to share with you unpack those two identities of the church. The first is our mission. And the second is a focus on us, the mission and the holiness. So let's start with that this morning. And we're going to open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18 to 20. And so that our first point this morning, there's only two points, they're really easy. Our first point this morning is go. And this is a familiar passage for many of us. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, and then Jesus came and to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Go into all the world. You see, this is actually the primary purpose of the Christian church. C.S. Lewis put it this way in his book, Mere Christianity. "The church exists for nothing else but to draw men unto Christ, to make them little Christs." That is our sole purpose, our mission. It's why for us as a church, our vision is what? Introducing Melbourne to Jesus. Because the sole or the primary purpose of the church is that we would introduce the world to Jesus. That we would go into the world and that we would make disciples and that we would teach them to obey everything that Jesus has commanded. I would love for you to reflect on your own heart this morning and just think, when I come to church, do I think about my sole purpose be about being equipped to share the gospel? Is that what I think church is for? And if your answer to that is no, well, let this be an opportunity to potentially reshape your thinking and your mind about what it is that we're here to do. Let's look at another passage this morning. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13 to 16. And it says for us, you, and this is Jesus preaching, the Sermon on the Mount, couldn't think of the words for a second, a great message to a very large crowd. And Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth," speaking to the disciples as well in particular. "But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. And you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people put light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." You see, church, you are salt and you are light. It is your purpose. It is our purpose as a church to be salt to this earth, to bring flavor, to bring influence, to bring light in darkness and shine out the glory of God so that he might be seen. Do you think of yourself as light? When you go into your workplace, when you go into your family who don't know Jesus, when you go into the shops, when you go to a restaurant, when you go to the basketball game on Saturday, when you go to your kids' activities like dance or, I don't know, whatever else, cricket, or anything like this, are you light to the world? Because that's who we're called to be, collectively and personally. We're called to be light to this earth, salt to the people around us. Let's turn now to 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20. We continue to reinforce this message about the ministry which God has called us to, the mission. And it says, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." You see, this is the clear message of the gospel. This is your job as an ambassador. Our job as a church is to say to the earth, is to say to the world, be reconciled to God. And there is so much to unpack in those four words, be reconciled to God. The first is, why do I even need reconciliation? What is reconciliation? Why am I needing to be reconciled to God? And the short answer is, of course, because we've sinned and we've fallen short of the glory of God, as we read about in Romans. We are actually at enmity with God. We are enemies of God. We subdue, as human beings, we subdue that thought. We don't necessarily reflect upon God in that way necessarily, although there are some that do. But many in the average population would not say that they hate God or enemies of him, but in effect, they continue to live their lives as if he were not there. The very creator of the world who created them and all that is in it, the very good God who has given them life and every blessing, they ignore, they object to, they willfully sin against him and puts them at enemies as enemies with God. And with no way back, with no way to be able to come back to him at all, we are enemies of God and we need reconciliation. And God himself has provided that reconciliation in Jesus Christ. And this is our message, church, as ambassadors. We preach to all who would be willing to hear, and even many who are not, to say, be reconciled to God. You need Jesus. I need Jesus. We need Jesus. That should be a song. We need Jesus in our lives. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. Bit of a longer passage. I don't know. We shouldn't read all of this. It's too long. We don't have time for this. But let's start with it anyway. Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles. That's who we are in this world. Right? When you receive Jesus, you were adopted into the family of God. You became sons and daughters of God. And in effect, you became citizens of heaven. So now, unfortunately, your citizenship on earth is no, as part of earth's kingdom, as part of Satan's kingdom, is no longer valid. You are in exile. You are a foreigner. Your citizenship is in heaven. But while we live in this world as foreigners, we are to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. I'm just going to stop there, actually. They may see your good deeds. Our mission as a church is to go to the world, to preach the gospel and to love those who come across us and to do good deeds, ultimately that they may know that God in heaven is great and they are to be reconciled to him. This is the church's primary mission. We are messengers. We are a group of ambassadors. We come together as part of an ambassadorial general meeting. We could perhaps call our Sunday service that each week, although it's a mouthful, it's an AGM. Yes? No? Oh, come on. We have an AGM yearly at the end of every financial year. It is an ambassadorial general meeting. A group of us as ambassadors to be equipped with the message of Christ. Is this your purpose, church? Is this what burns inside of your heart each day, each week? Not just here at church, but as you go out and leave this building. So it was in 1994, a family of six left their home in a distant, distant land called Queensland. With a call from God to reach the very, very lost people of Melbourne. The parents of this family in their late 30s, in fact, I think probably 37, probably just about to turn 37, which interestingly is the same age we're turning this year. And their children, four boys, 12, 10, 6, and 4 years old, pulled up their roots, leaving all of their family, leaving a growing and large church, leaving a community, leaving schools, leaving friendship groups, leaving great weather, and drove down to cold, cold Melbourne. It was a response, though, to a burning, burning call from God. The mission was central. First, as Melbourne North COC, or Christian Outreach Centre, meeting in Greensboro at a community hall, I think Grace Park Community Hall, is that right? Yeah. Grace Park Community Hall. And it was there that some of our longest-serving members joined the church. Bob and Rita were there a few months in. Krisha was there several months in. I was there. No, day one, that's right. That's right. 6 years old, probably still putting out chairs. And the church was born with a collective mission. At that time, the movement of COC had a vision, which was reaching Australia for Christ. And so it was that Melbourne North COC, that was the vision for the church. That was the mission that we had. But Australia was Greensboro for us at the time. It wasn't long before the church moved to Noorong Avenue in Bundoora. And actually, I can't say a lot about the time in Greensboro because I just don't remember very much, except that we had this some trees in the front part which had like little ornamental plums or fruits, and we would pull them off and throw them onto the road and hit cars and run into the bathroom when one of them stopped one time just to hide. Anyway, that's all I can remember from that time. terrible children. But we moved to Noorong Avenue in Bundoora, another community hall, which we hired. And the mission was consistent. The mission was the same. Outreaches to the local community. Family days where Pastor Craig would dress up as a clown. People serving on barbecues and giving their time to serve and help. We had Christmas things. We had, I can't even read my own writing here. Oh, we had concerts, that's right. Say again, please. Caroling around the streets. We walked around the streets, that's right, I remember that. Walked around the streets singing carols. Youth group, young people finding their future husbands and wives at church. We used to set up for church every week. We didn't own that building. So every Sunday morning, we would come into the building. We'd unpack all the chairs like they are here this morning. We'd have to set up all of the sound gear as we have here and a sound desk at the back. Bob was doing sound for us. And my first job that I can recall was doing the overhead projector. Does anybody remember those things with the clear plastic slides? What pressure? What pressure? I'm sure like 8 years old probably, 8 or 9 years old, and I'm sliding these overhead projector slips. Shout to the Lord, or come to the river, or rain on us. Okay, very good. This is my desire. This is the air I breathe. What else? How great thou art, I'm sure. That's forever, always been a song we do. My Redeemer lives. Oh, my word. Overhead projector. That was my job. And so stressful. But in that church, in that building, it wasn't the building that was the church. It was the people that were gathered there. And the mission was the same. To reach the local community for Jesus. It wasn't long then again, we moved to Mill Park on the corner of Centenary Drive and Plenty Road. And it was there that we changed our name from Melbourne North COC to Plenty Valley Church. And our mission was encapsulated this time as reaching out and changing lives. And there was one point in time that Pastor Craig had asked me, and by the way, if you don't know, Pastor Craig is my dad. So if I happen to slip to say dad, that's why. He asked me to see if I could write a song which encapsulated this statement into a song. My goodness, that was hard. And it wasn't a very good song. Whatever I came up with. And I think we probably ended up singing it in church 3 or 4 times. And then eventually, yeah, let's not worry about that one anymore. Which is fine. I was happy about that. The building that we moved into was a doctor's surgery before we moved in there. But ironically, it was the first time that within that building, real healing was ever offered. Lots more were added to the church. And again, outreaches to the community. I know Pastor Craig shared some of this stuff a couple of weeks ago. We would do carols down at Mill Park Lakes. A few years, setting up for carols at the lakes, which was interesting. Alpha at that church, ran for a number of years. Easter and Christmas plays and concerts, youth events at Mill Park Secondary, A few of us would go down to the skate park in Epping and hand out cans of Coke and witness to the local kids. And wonderful people as part of the congregation would give us some money to be able to buy Coke cans. And would take Coke cans and Tim Tams and go and give them to the kids to eat so that they would stop talking and we could tell them about Jesus. You have to get them to stop talking. And it wasn't long before Plenty Valley Church became the church. The congregation became too big for that building and we moved here into this building. And Community Cafe began. Community Kitchen began, sorry. Seeking to feed as many people as would come. We changed our name to Infinity Church and replaced our vision of reaching out and changing lives to introducing Melbourne to Jesus. There are so many other things that we have done as a congregation to reach the lost of the community in South Morang, Mill Park, Bundoora, Greensboro, Epping, Laylor, Mernda, Doreen, even people who live in Doreen, Whittlesea, Craigieburn, Roxburgh Park, Rosanna, Eltham, Research, people who came to this church who sought to also share the gospel with their friends and family. The mission has stayed the same. But I'd love for you to reflect on this quote this morning, church, from Charles Spurgeon. He wrote, "They wander in on a Sunday morning, sit down, get their hymn books, or look up at the screen, listen to the prayer without joining in on it. Hear the sermon, but might almost as well not have heard it. Go home, get through Sunday, go into business. With them there is never any secret prayer for the conversion of men or women. No trying to talk to children or servants, if you have any, or friends about Christ. No zeal. No holy jealousy, no flaming love, no generosity, no consecrating of the substance, that's our bodies, our effort, to God's cause. This is too faithful a picture of a vast number of professing Christians. Would it were not so." That cuts even a little deep for me. You see, church, because our primary purpose is that we would reach the lost. And I've already gone way too long already. So I've got to get a move on. I'm sorry. Church, we are to be in the world, but not of it. Point number two. Point number one was go. Point number two, unfortunately, is a little longer. Hopefully you can say it with me. Faith, love, learn, and worship. This is what else we do as a church. Faith, love, learn, and worship. We're going to run through a few verses this morning which outline this for us in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24 to 25. And it says there for us, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching." Faith. Encouraging one another in faith. That is what we are called to do as a body of believers. We are called to be worldly Christians who go out and preach the gospel, and we're called to be holy Christians who encourage one another in faith. Build each other up in faith. Edify one another in faith. That we would encourage one another to go into the world. That we would encourage one another to take that step. Encourage one another to overcome that trial. Encourage one another not to let go of Jesus. In faith is what we're called to, church. How many times have you been encouraged by the faith of another believer? Hopefully someone in this church whose faith seems to be able to overcome the greatest of trials, whose faith seems to be so rock solid and consistent. Church, that is what we are called to be as a body of believers. Let's look at love next in 1 John 4, verse 7 and 21. It says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God." And verse 21 says, "And he has given us this command, those who love God must also love one another." It's so simple, and it is so important that actually love is principal among us. It is one of the evidences that God is at work in our lives, that we love each other. Sometimes you might feel like coming to church can be a bit of a bore. I'm standing next to these people that I don't really get along with that very well. You know, they smell a bit. They sing out of tune most of the time. The music's fairly horrendous. The songs are really average. The preaching is generally okay. But you see, it's actually coming to church and being amongst this group that helps to develop that love. Because we're called to love one another despite many of our faults and failings, am I right? To love one another even when we might be unlovely at times. It is, of course, just the exact example that Jesus gave to us, loving those who are unlovable, and the church should be known for and characterized by love all the time. Learn, Proverbs 27 and verse 17, many of you will know this verse, it's very simple. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Again, as a congregation, that is our opportunity to work with one another, to help each other learn about God, to sharpen one another up. Of course, if you strike iron together, what do you get? Sparks, heat, potentially fire. It is inevitable that in this congregation, as we rub up against one another, it's nice to think of myself as iron and yourself as iron. As we rub up against one another, there will be sparks, and praise God that those sparks might result in flaming zeal for his purpose, but a wayward spark can also set a fire for a destruction. But church, we are here to learn from one another, to be able to learn about God's kingdom, learn about who he is and his character. And that is what we are called to do. There is lots that you can do to add to that, to get alongside someone. It's what we are called to do as disciples. We are to learn. And lastly, worship. I'm trying to go quickly without leaving too much behind. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15 to 17 says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." You see, everything we do is to bring glory to Jesus. Everything we do is to bring glory to Jesus. I'm going to give you one really quick picture of what faith, love, learn, and worship looks like, and it is the transition of our church from Pastor Craig and Chris to Pastor Daniel and Megan. Probably the biggest milestone, apart from its very beginning, that our church has ever had is the transition of pastors. Many, many churches have stumbled, fallen, broken up as a result of a transition similar to the one that we went through a couple of years ago. And that transition was years in the making. First, in the background, finding the right candidates. Finding candidates, people who actually felt that they had the need, felt that they had the call to serve Jesus in pastoral ministry. Then believing in faith, one with each other, that they were called to this ministry, to this church. Believing in and encouraging one another, particularly Pastors Craig and Chris, encouraging Daniel and Megan, that they were called and were able, equipped by the Spirit, to take on the ministry. And then love, working with one another to to bring out the fruit, to bring up the leadership skills, to equip them to take on the ministry, love of each other in order to form the relationship, which is critical for an ease of transition. Learning. They were learning in discipleship from one another, particularly Daniel and Megan, learning from Pastors Craig and Chris how to be able to lead, how to draw on the equipping and resources of the Spirit, how to preach, how to run a church, learning. And for our benefit, church, it has, and for God's benefit, should I say, it has resulted in worship. How many times have we thanked God for his hand of purpose, his hand of providence guiding this whole transition so that we can sit here today and be thankful for God for what he's done in us for 30 years. Amen. That is just one picture of how that works. Jesus, Lord, we look to thee. Let us in thy name agree. This is for us as a church. This is our prayer. Show thyself, the Prince of Peace. Bid all, I can't even read my own writing order. I say strife, that's what it is. Strife forever cease. Make us of one heart and mind, courteous, pitiful and kind, lowly, meek, in thought and word, altogether like the Lord. Let us for each other care, each other's burdens bear. To thy church the pattern give. Show us, Lord, how true believers live. Jesus said that they will know that you are my disciples because of your love one for another. Church is our identity. We are holy, worldly ones. Light, salt in this world. Loving, supporting, learning and worshiping together. Don't let each Sunday go past and just come on Sunday, sit on the seat, read the words, but not let it enter your heart. Go into the world and preach the gospel. Let's bow our heads in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for your provision amongst us, that we would even be able to call ourselves your body, with Jesus as our head. And we thank you that you are with each of us. Strengthen us as a community. Strengthen us as a fellowship in your Spirit. Lord, we call upon you this morning to build us up together in love and in faithfulness. And give us fire, Lord, in our hearts to reach the lost around us and never lose sight of our primary mission, our primary purpose, which is to reach those lost around us. And we thank you for this in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Amen.